This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abom, welcome everyone. Thank you everybody for joining us tonight. I know there's a lot of competition this evening, so thank you for choosing this venue. So the Shurim on Sefer Vayikra are generously sponsored by the Zakheim Mishpacha, by Dr. Zakheim Umishpachta, Le'iloi Nishmas of Shomel Yezman Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi, the Neshama Shabbat Haliyah, be Melitze Yisharm for their whole family, Ad Bias Gal Tzedek. Tonight's Shir is sponsored by the Mikli family, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rabbi Zecharia Wallerstein, Zecharia Shimon Ben Yitzchak HaKoyen, who was a great mashpia on many youth in our generation, on large segments of Klal Yisrael, was a very powerful and influential mashpia, one of the first speakers actually on TorahAnytime.com. And on this occasion, we hope, we wish his family a nechama, and his neshama shav na'aliyah, b'gan eden tehei menuchasai. So a very unusual topic tonight. Before that, a few public service announcements. I know recently you've been learning Rashi, and you probably wanted to know, where did Rashi live? When did Rashi live? Which city did Rashi thrive in? Where did Tosfos live? Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam. So that's why this summer we're going to be visiting the city of Rashi. And for the first time, we're going to be visiting Rashi's Kever on his yard site, Choftes Tamaz. So for all you who come from Rashi, which you probably do, likely Rashi is your great-grandfather if you're Ashkenazi, and we're going to be visiting the city of Metz, where the Chagas Aryeh is buried, and Paris, where Rav David Sinsheim is buried, and Ramarupt, where Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam are, and Provence, where the Rivet is. You could join us this summer. The details go to the site, rabbidg.com. And another very important announcement. Because all of you listening to the share out there, or even if you're live, you think, okay, you take a computer, and you speak into the computer, and you give a share. Actually, we have nowhere to give the share. There's a very nice shul that's letting us use the shul for the Wednesday night share. But we actually need a home to be able to continue to give the shiurim, whether it's the Wednesday night shir, the morning Mishnah Berurah shir, the Archas Chaim of the Rosh, the Daf HaShavua, all the shiurim, the minyanim. And Baruch Hashem, we located a property and we're closing very soon. And we only need one thing. We only need your help to make it possible. So I know a lot of you say, well, I don't live in Cedarhurst. I live wherever you live. You live in South Africa, Australia, India, Saudi Arabia, the Philippines, Gibraltar, and we have members of all those countries who are listening to the Shurim. So this is going to be your base medrash, because otherwise there's no way to broadcast the Shurim. Whatever you could do to help us out, we're going to be launching a campaign very soon. If you could be among the first to help us, then Tavei Aleichem Bracha. Okay, and with that we begin tonight's Shir. This is going to be one of the most unusual topics we ever spoke about. If you thought last week was, you know, unusual. And if you were, by the way, if you need a Dvar Torah for Shabbos, just, you know, I'll call you later. I'll give you a Dvar Torah to say at the table. This is the Wednesday night. It's not like, you know, a source of necessary Dvar Torah for the general public. You know, that's a different service. You go to the site. We have English Dvar Torah every week. You want a nice quick Vart that won't offend anybody, that won't wrangle anybody's feathers. That's not the Wednesday night share. So tonight's topic is Aristotle. Where did I come up with that? I know, I was looking in a Sefer, and the beginning of Kedoshim, it told a story about Aristotle. And I thought, hey, that would be a great topic for a Wednesday night share. So we're going to talk about Aristotle, who was born in the year 384 before the Common Era. And he died in 322, so he lived 62 years. Really? So then he was alive in the times of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, of course he was. He lived in the times a little bit after that. He lived in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. He actually was a good friend of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, Hayu Mishiyari Knesset HaGdoila. In fact, Aristotle writes about many things. V'zeh mimasha hashiveni hashimoini. This is what Shimon HaTzadik taught me. You remember the story when Alexander the Great came to Yerushalayim, he saw Shimon HaTzadik come out to greet him. He said, I can't believe it, he's the guy I always saw in my dreams with the long, white, flowing beard. Alexander the Great saw Shimon HaTzadik, and who's Alexander the Great's Rebbe? Aristotle. So Aristotle knew Shimon HaTzadik. In fact, Aristotle learned many things from Shimon HaTzadik. So Aristotle is one of the greatest all-time philosophers, teacher of Alexander the Great, and I'm reading to you from the Sefer Seder HaDoiris of Rabbi Chil Halperin, which is a very legitimate source of Jewish history. We know the Chida even wrote footnotes on the Seder HaDoiris. Now, I say a legitimate source because there are many Sfarim that are not legitimate sources, including Sfarim that people quote from where the Chida says, nah, you know, it's like a storybook, but it's not accurate. They're just legend. But the Seder HaDoiris is considered an authoritative work of Jewish history. And he brings that Aristotle was a student of Socrates and Plato. He was born in Macedonia. And he lived another 20 years after Alexander. Now, we're going to have to see that doesn't necessarily shtim with all of the stories and all of the legends. And he had many conversations with Shimon HaTzadik. He was very astounded by the knowledge of Shimon HaTzadik. And according to another source of Jewish history, quoted by the Seder HaDoiris, at the end of Aristotle's life, he retracted all of his opinions, and he acknowledged the truth of the Torah, and he became a Geret Tzedek. Okay, I never heard that either. But that's what's brought down in the Sefer Seder HaDoiris, that Aristotle actually converted, and he became a Geret Tzedek. Who the Bezdin was, which rabbis presided over that conversion, I can't tell you, but that is what's recorded in the Seder HaDoiris. Moreover, in the Sefer HaTapuach, he brings now, Aristotle believed, Shehoilam Kadmoin. I don't want to get into his heretical beliefs, but he believed that the world always existed. He believed that God, perforce, created a world, and that world operates according to the Teva, that could never be broken. But aside from that, says the Seder HaDoiris, Aristotle worked his whole life to abolish other forms of idolatry and to acknowledge other of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Furthermore, there is a Sefer called Sefer Emuna that Aristotle never converted because he was Jewish. Not only was he Jewish, he was a Yushalmi. And he came from Shevet Binyamin. He popped out of some mountainous region in Asia. He came out of the mountains and he produced philosophy. Okay, I can't tell you. I didn't do any DNA tests on Aristotle. I can't tell you if he converted, but that's what's brought in the Seder HaDoiris. And quoted in the Seder HaDoiris on the bottom of the first, on the right hand column, at the end of Aristotle's life, he had great charata. He spoke to Shimon HaTzadik and he spoke to other Chachmei Yisrael. And he retracted all of his shittais. Moreover, he sent a letter to Alexander the Great. He said, my dear Alexander, blessed is God who opens the eyes of the blind, who teaches the sinners the correct path. And he took me out of darkness and foolishness and all of my books that Aristotle wrote, many, many books. Aristotle said, I always fought with the sages, but now I see I'm a complete fool. My dear Alexander, don't read my books anymore. If I had the capacity to collect all my books and burn them, I would do that because I know that when I get upstairs, I'm going to receive terrible punishment. Therefore, do me a favor. All of my books, they're fabricated, they're false, they're based on nothing, they're based on theory, and the only true knowledge is the knowledge of the Torah. And you're probably wondering, why did I take until now to write this to you? Dear Alexander, I waited until now to write this because I knew that you might get angry at me. This way I sent it now, so by the time you get it, I'll be dead. Have a great day. Love your Rebbe, Aristotle. Now how that fits in with the first thing the Seder HaDoiris said, that Aristotle lived 20 years after Alexander the Great. We know Alexander died at like age 38 or so. I can't reconcile all of these legends and stories. This is what's brought in the Sefer Seder HaDoros of Rabbi Chiel Halperin. We're going to analyze tonight the view of the Gedolei Yisrael of Aristotle. What did they think of him? What was his end? A very tragic ending, according to our tradition. And some of the Chachma of Aristotle, discussed by Rabbi Chanan and Rabbi Rucham Levavitz. So let's begin. The Rambam writes in a letter that the wisest man who ever lived was Aristotle. The Rambam says he reached the highest level of Chachma just under Nevuah, meaning anyone who was a Navi was greater, but someone who didn't reach prophecy, nobody was as wise as Aristotle. So the Rambam had a very high opinion of him in terms of his Chachma, and we know the Mar Nevuchim speaks at length about the Chachma of Aristotle, and the Rambam does not agree with most of the premises, but he does agree with some. I'm not going to discuss the philosophy of Aristotle. Let me just share with you some of the things that happened to him, what his end was, what the Gra said about him, what Rabbi Chanan said about him, and what Rabbi Rucham said about him. The first very interesting thing is we look in the Sefer Torah Sa'ila. Sefer Torah Sa'ila is written by the Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles. And the Rama brings an incredible thing that Alexander the Great conquered Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim there's a great library, and this was the library of King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech. And who became the chief librarian? Aristotle. And all of the wisdom of Aristotle was stolen and co-opted and plagiarized from Shlomo HaMelech. That's what the Rama says. So the Rama says, don't get so caught up in the great philosophy of the nations of the world. You know, people, they study Greek culture and Greek science, and they go, wow, the Greeks, they chachma bagoyim tamen. You know why chachma bagoyim tamen? Because they got it from us. That's what the Rama says. All the wisdom of Aristotle was stolen, was plagiarized by, all the wisdom of Aristotle was plagiarized, and it came from Shlomo HaMelech, writes the Rama. Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov, a student, Talmud Mubak of the Gra, says, I was once sitting before the Gra, and the Gra said that Aristotle was a koifer, mitchila v'yatsoif, he was a heretic. Not only was a heretic, he knew God, and he rejected him. It's not that with Chachma he developed a philosophy that God is not interested in the world. He knew God created the world. He knew God runs the world. And he decided to ignore it. See, why did he decide to ignore it? Was he very into Taiva? Because Aristotle, we know, he went into the forest and he didn't eat and he didn't sleep and he didn't wear regular clothing and he separated from Tanuge Olam Hazeh. But we'll see about that. Says the Gra, he was Yoidea Riboinoi Mechavein Limroiba. He knew God, he knew the truth, and his intention was to rebel. Says the Gra, if Aristotle would come to my table, I would show him on this table the sun, the moon, the stars, and how they shine. And Rabbi Shlomo said, huh? What are you talking about? What does that mean? And the Gra said, very easy. All the Ga'onim after the Zman HaGemar knew Shemois, and they could take the sun and put it on their table, and take the moon and put it on their table. And I also know the Shemois. So if Aristotle was here, I would show him how the world operates and how God runs the world, and he would just, it would completely destroy all of his philosophy. But Aristotle knew all of this. You don't think Shimon HaTzadik could have explained to Aristotle the truth of the universe? He was Yoidea Riboinoi Umechavein Limroiboi. So now I'm going to share with you what happened to this great Chacham. And there are three sources for the story. A very unusual story. One is Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz. One is a Sefer Meira Seinayim of Rabbi Yitzchak de Min Akko, who is a Talmud of the Ramban. And Rabbi Yitzchak de Min Akko has the lengthiest version of the story. Let's see what Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz said. Says Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz, who's the most powerful person in the world? The Gemara says in Yevamos, it's all in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, Ein Chazak B'chol Ha'aretz Ki'isha. The allure of an attractive woman is the most powerful force in the world. And she could seduce anyone. Even Aristotle, says Rabbi Yonah Sinaiyashitz, who secluded in the forests and in the jungles, and he wore cloth, and he tried to stay away from all Tanuga El Mazeh, he was killed because of a Isha Yafa. And that's all Rabbi Yonah Sinaiyashitz says. Huh? Now, the last person who I would think would discuss the story is the Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar says that here's a wondrous skula. Anything concocted from a person's seichel is finite, is dangerous, it could end, and it could lead to disaster. You know what the proof is? Aristotle, the smartest man who ever lived, who was just beneath Nevuah, with all of his good character and his midos toivos and his etiquette and his politeness, you know what happened to him? He died because of a beautiful woman. The Bnei is the Heilige Bnei Yisachar brings us. What's the story? What happened? I mean, that's, you know, that's a good one. That's worthy of a shir. You have a mysterious lines in the Rabbi Yonah Sinaiyashitz Bnei Yisachar about what happened to Aristotle, that he went down because of an Isha Yafeh, and they don't give you any details. I mean, it's wild. What's going on over here? I know there's other programming, but you must have heard that there's a good story tonight. So, here's a story. This is a story of a Talmud of the Ramban, Reb Yitzchak de Menako. He was once in front of his Rebbe, and his Rebbe started talking about Alexander, and Alexander the Great had a beautiful wife. And Alexander the Great's Rebbe was Aristotle. And Aristotle was Mesave to Aishas Alexander. And he made an advance, and he tried, and he cajoled, and he didn't let up. And she wasn't interested. And so said, you know what? I don't understand you. You're the big Rebbe, the big wise man. You're the God-fearing, holy Aristotle. This is what you do? He said, you know what? I'll give in to you. I'll accede. Here's the deal. You have to do one thing. Yeah, I'm asking you one favor, and then we have a deal. He says, what do you want? He said, on the day, I'm going to give you a certain date. I know my husband's going to be away hunting. You come to the room, you get down on all four like a donkey, and I'm going to ride you around the room once or twice, and then we have a deal. He said, okay. Bracha, they shook on it. Vayovei Hayom, Alexander was hunting. She told him that night, you're a great teacher, you're a great ethicist, you're a great Rebbe. This is what he did to me. That he made an advance on me. And we made a deal, so I want you to check out what's going to happen. So the Vayhi Hayoim, and Aristotle comes to Aishas Alexander, and he gets down on all four like a donkey, and she's riding on him, and in walks Alexander the Great. He says, Rebbe! I can't believe it. And he wanted to chop off his head. But he couldn't, because first of all, he needed to learn more Chachma, and all of Alexander's wars were won because of the advice of Aristotle. So he took him, he chained him, he tortured him, he kept him alive, and that's the end of the story. Says the Talmud of the Ramban, look at the great Yiras Shamayim of the wisest of the Chachmei Yavan. Look how fine their character. Look how despicable they are. This is their Chacham. This is the father of all of their ethics. And for day after day after day, he's trying to do something inappropriate with the wife of his student. That's what the Bnei Yisachar is talking about. That's what Rabbi Yonah Sinaiyashitz is talking about. Now, that's a very interesting thing. Because here it is. The Rambam said he reached the highest level of Chachma right beneath Nevuah, right beneath prophecy. He's Chacham Mikol Adam. And look what he stooped to. So the Bnei Yisachar says, you see from here that Derech Eretz, that's not steeped in Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai, has no Kiyum. The Tiferes Yisrael says, why does Pirkei Avos begin, Moshe Kibol Torah Misinai? Because if you're a nice person and you're a good person, but it's not rooted in the Messiah of the Torah, it's not worth anything, not worth the price of admission. Because you could go into the forest and you cannot eat and you cannot drink and you can make believe you're a parish and you're separate from the enjoyments of this world, and inside you're Mesavi of a burning taiva like any other Russia in the world. So that's what happened to Aristotle. And with this background, I want to share with you the Kasha of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who cites Aristotle. And he asks the following question. This is the basic difference between the philosophy of Aristotle and Klal Yisrael. Is Aristotle believed that there's a God. And what does God do? Aristotle believed the highest activity that anyone could be involved in is thought. So God was thinking. And by thinking, he created the world. And that world exists, and God's not interested in it. And the greatest thing that man could do is sit and think. What about virtue? What about chesed? What about values? That had no meaning to Aristotle. But we don't believe in that. We believe that God created the world as an act of chesed. And the greatest thing a human being could do is to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olam chesed yibane. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks the following question. So Aristotle ended up being a koifer. Now, did he ultimately become a ger tzedek? That's what the Seder Hadara says. Was he Jewish? That's what the Seder Hadara says. But it's irrelevant. Bottom line is, as far as we know, Aristotle did not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in the sense that we believe. Now, who's smarter, Aristotle or a 13-year-old bar mitzvah bachar? Aristotle. There's nobody alive today who is as wise as him. And yet a kid becomes 13 years old, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, hey, kid! And this kid, what does he do all day? He's interested in sports. He's playing around. And we say, kid, put on tefillin. Okay, I'll put on tefillin. I could do that. Kid, you have to daven every day. He could do that. Learn Torah. Believe in Hashem. We believe in Hashem. How could God expect a kid to believe in Him, which is something even Aristotle is not able to believe? That means it's a very difficult thing. It's not easy to have emunah. Is it easy to have emunah b'Hashem? Emunah b'Hashem is a very difficult thing. It requires great study and analysis and thought and contemplation. It's not something that somebody could easily come to. So how could it be that the master of the universe could expect out of a bar mitzvah bachur something that even the great philosophers cannot come to comprehension? If Aristotle was a koifer, that means it's not easy to have a moon. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect a bar mitzvah boy to be wiser than the great philosophers of antiquity? That's the kasha of Rabbi Chanan. Moreover, asks Rabbi Chanan, we know Gentiles are expected to observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. Yeah, that means they have to believe in one God. So imagine you take an Akum. What does he do all day? He's in the pub. He's in the bar. He's shikr kaloit, shikr kanoyach, shikr like all these guys. He's stumbling and mumbling. And Lachamei Vesem Shani is going to go up to Shamayim, and they're going to put him straight into the self-cleaning oven. Why? Because he didn't have emuna. Oh, the guy said, what do you want from me? I don't have emuna. He's going to point to Aristotle. He didn't have emuna. How could you expect me to have emuna? Says Rabbi Chanan, is it realistic that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects goyim to observe Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? I mean, there are great philosophers that could not come to this understanding. So how could the average Oyvdei Kocham HaZolos be expected to believe in Hashem? How could the average Bar Mitzvah Bachar be expected to believe in Hashem? We know there's a rule. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba betrunya and b'riyos of God is not looking to bust our chops. So how could he expect something of us that great people were not able to comprehend? So Rabbi Chanan says his well-known approach. Rabbi Chanan says, belief in the Creator is elementary, is obvious, is pashut. As long as you're not a blithering fool, you will come to belief in Hashem. You know why? Rabbi Chanan says, let's say you were in a desert And in the desert, you saw in the sand, it was written A, B, C, D. Would anyone in their right mind say that the wind came and blew it and etched those letters in the sand? Would anybody say that? Would you say that? Let's say you had $1 million on you, and someone would say, bet $1 million that someone wrote it, and if the wind blew it, you lose your money. Are you going to bet $1 million that somebody etched A, B, C, and D in the sand? Yes or no? It's written, A, B, C, and D. Those are the two options. Someone wrote it, or it was the wind. Are you betting $1 million? Let's say it said A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. You're going to bet $1 million? Yeah, you're going to do it. Of course you are. Because it's impossible for the wind to blow something like that. And what's more complex, 10 letters of the alphabet or the I? Or one cell or one strand of DNA? There's more information on one strand of DNA than in all the books in the entire New York City. Than all these bookshelves and all the books in the entire New York City, there's more information on one strand of DNA. So if you would bet every last penny you had, that when there's plan and purpose, obviously there's a planner, then you look at this world, you look at your body, and it's clear someone made it. So the fact that there's a God is obvious. So then why don't these great philosophers believe in that? So Rabbi Chanan says, because there's a great principle in human nature. What's the halacha if Yankel in left field? Yankel's a judge, and he's judging between me and Donnie over there. And before the court case, Yankel has to go put some money in the meter, and I slip him a quarter. Could he judge the case? No. Why? But we have a much bigger judgment. You think the judge is going to be swayed by one little quarter? The halacha is that he cannot judge the case. Ki hashoichad ya'aver enei chachamim. Human nature is such that once you want something, you can't see the truth. Even if that want is because I gave you 25 cents. Once you're bribed, once you have shoychad, it's me'aver einei chacham. What if the judge wasn't Yankel, it was Moshe Rabbeinu? What if Moshe Rabbeinu was the judge, and I gave him $1? Could he judge the case? Nope. Why? It's a chayk? It's not a chayk. It's human nature. Because if I give you money, if I give you something, you have a reason, you have invested interest. Once you have invested interest, you can't think straight. And therefore, these great philosophers, as smart as they were, the greater you are, the more of a Baal Taiva you are. You telling me a Gadol B'Yisrael has more inherent Yetzahara than a regular guy? No, I'm not telling you that. Chazal are telling you that. The greater you are, the more your Yetzahara is. So these wise philosophers, they were bigger Baalei Taiva than anybody else. And of course they knew that it's obvious there's a creator, and the creator, if he created the world, if he could create a cell, which is more complex than could you write the, you know, when I was a kid they had encyclopedias. Encyclopedia Britannica, right? If you could write that, then you're pretty smart. If you could program a computer, you could override the computer. So of course they believe God created the world. And they know it, but they can't accept it. Why? Because they don't want to. Why? Because they have taiva. And if you have taiva, you want to give in to the taiva. So they're no longer objective arbiters of whether there's a creator and he knows and he's able to reward and punish. They're not interested. They can't accept such a thing. What do you mean? What do they want to do? What they want to do? What Aristotle did, that's what he wants to do. Yeah, but his whole life he lived in the forest. Of course he lived in the forest. But that doesn't negate the fact that inside of him was a burning desire for the pleasures of this world, that no matter how much he tried to squelch it, at the end of the day he didn't have the Torah to overcome it, and therefore he's not an a 13-year-old boy can come to a more correct conclusion than someone whose level of wisdom is right beneath nevuah. Which means that being a true and honest arbiter is not dependent necessarily on intellectual acumen, it's dependent on objectivity. Rabbi Chanan deals with the famous question of Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz was once asked by one of the Chachmei Hagoyim, you know, it says in the Torah, Achrei Rabim Lahatois. So let's look outside, let's look in the world. You have a billion anoshim be'eretz sin, ve'yesh od gamkein, a billion people be'eretz hodu. And the Jews, they're like, how many observant Jews are in the world? 6 million. So we have to follow the roiv. Majority of the world are either atheists or roiv de'avay de'zora, achrei rabim lahatois. That was the kasha. Yeah? How would you answer that question? Achrei rabim lahatois. That's what the Urim V'Tumim was asked. So the Urim V'Tumim answered, the Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz answered, when do we follow a roiv? When we don't know. You have a piece of meat. There are nine treif stores, one kosher store. We don't know where it came from. So you don't know. You follow the roiv. But what if the meat says gourmet glat? Or what if the meat says, you know, empire kosher? And there could be 99 treif stores and one kosher. You could eat it because we know. You only follow roiv. When you don't know, when you know, you know. So Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, what do you mean follow the roiv? There's not a suffix. We don't have any doubt. We know the truth. Just the rest of the world, they may be blinded because they want to give in to their desires. However, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said it was up to him. He would give a different answer to this question. And that is, you only follow the roiv when the dayanim are qualified, when they don't have an invested interest. But what if, you know, Rabbi Victor Miller used to say, "Kimoyhem yu oiseyem." The oivdei avodah zarah are like the avodah zarah itself. So he used to say, in Egypt, they believed in the crocodile and the asp. Asp is a vicious snake. So if that's who your God is, if your God is a crocodile that eats babies and murders, then you become murderers. Because that's what you look up to. That's your God. And if you believe in a God who was born from an av, who there was from an aim, and where was the tata? No, we don't need a tata. Yeah, anyone really buys that? Anyone? Of course not. So that means you believe in a God that was sourced in Gilei Arayos. So then you become a Gilei Arayos. Kimoyhem yiyu oiseihem. Kimoyhem, like the God, will be the worshippers. But Klal Yisrael, we believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Anav and Rachamon and Chanun, the Erech Apayim, the Rav Chesed. So we become Lehishtabeach B'Sehilasecha. We become greater because of who we worship. Says Rabbi Chanan, we're going to follow the Roiv. The Roiv, they're not qualified judges. What if nine judges who are not qualified paskin one way? Let's say nine drunken judges say innocent, and one wise, level-headed judge says guilty. You know, nine guys who are pulled out of the bar say, who cares what they say? It's not a numbers game. It's only a numbers game when you have people who are qualified. Says Rabbi Chanan, the only true arbiters, objective arbiters, are those who are free from the desires of this world. And Marv Raboisai, this highlights the difference between the Chachmei Umos HaOlam and the Chachmei Yisrael. Think about the Chachmei Yisrael even in our generation. Rav Chaim Knievsky, somebody who had no involvement with Tzoynois BeOlam HaZeh BeChlal. So someone like that is a qualified arbiter to teach us the truth. But you look at the greatest among the nations of the world. Who's the greatest? The greatest was Aristotle. And look what happened to him. Look what he stooped to. Look what And according to many, that's how he died. And it's very interesting, because he made every attempt and every effort in the world to stay away, to live in the forest, and to put on shrouds, and not to eat, and not to drink. And yet, when a person's path in life is based on their own logic and their own reason, then they're dead meat. You know why? Because logic is no match for emotion. So you could know something is true, like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say, the greatest distance in the world is between the head and the heart. Because we know everything, but we don't act that way. Why? Because we know what's true and what's not true, but we want. And what you want will always overcome what you know. So then how do you do the right thing ever? That's a big problem, because we learn Torah, and we know what we're supposed to do, and we know what we're not supposed to do. So how come we sometimes do what we're not supposed to do? The answer is because when it comes, when the Yetzirah comes, and we have Ratzon, and we have Taiva, Taiva always overpowers Yediyah. So what do? The answer is, Kol sheyirasai kaidemes l'chachmasai, chachmasai miskayemes. The only thing you could do is Yirah Shamayim, fear of God, because fear of God is emotion. It's not just knowledge. That's why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say that the purpose of learning Musar is to be able to bring what's in your mind into your heart. Because if you're fighting the Yetzer Hara with your mind, you are dead meat. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. What's that? What's... Remind me. Oh, very good. So, that's the idea of the difference between the Chachma of Aristotle and the Chachma of Torasenu HaKadoshah. And ultimately, the Torah tells us, Kedoshim to you. And the wisdom of the Torah always has to be bolstered by genuine Yirah Shamayim. But Chachma alone will never allow a person, will never help a person to fight against the Yetzer Hara. And if these legends are true, that Aristotle changed his mind, then in Kabbalah he nekabel. But that's not really important. As Rabbi Chanan Wasserman would say, that Avraham Avinu came to the city of the Plishtim, and he saw museums, and he saw orchestras, and he saw culture, and he saw art. And what did Avraham Avinu say? I'm getting out of here. Why? Haraguni al devarishti. They're going to murder me to commit adultery. Why? But they're so cultured. They're so artistic. They're so much have so much etiquette in this city. But what did Avraham Avinu say? Rak ki ein yiras elokim ba'makom hazeh. There's just no fear of God. And there's no fear of God, then they could stoop to the level of a donkey and get down on all four and be ready to commit the lowest act. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman came to Germany in the 30s. And he said, look at this country, look at these cities. We see culture, and we see music, and we see art. And Rabbi Chanan said, watch out. Rak ki ein yiras elokim ha'makom hazeh. There's no fear of God over here. And that's what we learn from the fate of Aristobulus, ha-philosoph. But of course, the Chachme Yisrael, the true Chachme Yisrael, they're Yerasai Koidemes L'Chachmasai, and they're Oid Yenuvun B'Seva, that throughout their lives, they're Kadosh, V'Tahar, V'Naki, and this is who we admire, Ad Bias Kueltek. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.